That tonight is in your bulletin. It is the record of the giving of the Ten Commandments to the nation Israel. We'll be focusing in on one of those commandments tonight, but let me read the whole context. This is God's Word. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself any idol in the form of anything in heaven above or in the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you should labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son nor daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in six days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. And our focus will be on verse 12. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word tonight. After 20 years of pastoring and 51 years of living, I've become pretty well convinced that the single most important factor in influencing our quality of life is our response to our parents. Counselors will tell you that your relationship with your parents affects all your other relationships. Your present relationships are impacted for good or for bad based on how you related to your parents in the past. Clearly, this commandment, honor your father and your mother, is of utmost significance. And we can see that even in the context, the reasons that God attaches to this commandment. Here in Exodus 20, God says that we are to keep this commandment so that you may live long. He repeats the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy chapter 5, and there he adds, and that it may go well with you. In the New Testament, he brings both of those reasons together. And basically, God promises long life and good life to those who honor their parents. Now, ultimately, our blessing comes from honoring God himself. But we honor God by honoring our parents. And the promise of long life and a good life does not come to us in a simple one-to-one basis. It's the fact that for sometimes God, for a higher purpose, people who honor their parents suffer. And those who dishonor their parents prosper. And yet, overall, the general rule still holds that those who, out of love for God, honor their parents, they can expect normally to receive God's blessing, both in terms of material and spiritual blessing. So the question that needs to be addressed tonight is, how can we honor our parents? And as I look at this commandment in the context of all of Scripture, I believe there's at least 5 ways that God calls us to honor our parents, to keep this command. First of all, we're to respect their position. Respect their position. We're to honor our parents not because they're perfect, but because of their God-ordained position. There is no such thing as a perfect parent. All of us have our faults, our inconsistencies, our weaknesses. And God doesn't call us to honor our parents for their mistakes or for their poor lifestyles, but he does call us to honor them because of their God-ordained position. In Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 2, it says that all authority, and that includes our mother and our father, all authority has been established by God. That no authority exists except that which has been established by God. And therefore, if a person rebels against God, they are rebelling. If they rebel against authority, they are rebelling against God himself. And it says there that God will see to it that we suffer the consequences. And I wonder how many people have suffered the consequences, have had a difficult life, have had problems in life, and never really knew that what was happening was the fifth commandment working its way out in their lives for having failed to honor their father and their mother. Now, let me make it very clear. This doesn't mean that you ignore their mistakes. It doesn't mean that you pretend that they are perfect. What it means is that regardless of the faults of your parents, you recognize that God has chosen them to bring you into life, and that you owe them your life, and you do not honor them because they have been perfect parents, but you honor them because of their God-ordained position. When you walk into a court and the judge walks in, you say, "Your Honor." And that may have nothing to do at all with his character. He may be a real jerk. But you honor his God-ordained position by referring to him as honor. In the same way, God calls us to honor our parents, to respect their position. Secondly, to honor your parents means to praise their strengths. Now, this takes it a step further. It's one thing to respect their position. It's another thing to praise their strengths. But the word honor means to value, to treasure, to affirm, to give glory to. And God is calling us to give glory to our parents, to affirm them, to value them, to treasure them. If you're a young person and you want to change your parents, affirm them, appreciate them. Catch them doing something good and say, "Mom or Dad, that's great. You're doing a great job." And after they regain consciousness, they will try even harder to be a better parent. Now, Proverbs 3, verse 27 says this, "Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act." In other words, do not hold back affirming your parents while you still have opportunity. It's so tragic when people wait too long to honor their parents. They wait until it's too late. And no expense spent on a funeral can compare to a card or a note of appreciation sent right now. A friend of mine whose mother died after the funeral was looking through her Bible, and he came across a note that he had written to her years before, a note in which he expressed appreciation for certain praiseworthy character traits in his mother. And that note was just literally worn thin and stained with tears as his mother must have read it over and over and wept with joy. And he was so glad that he did not wait until it was late to affirm, to praise the strengths of his mother. So the first thing that we do is we respect their position. The second thing is that we praise their strengths. The third thing that God calls us to do is to heed their counsel. You know, as a child, we are called by God to obey our parents. Our parents are given to us not to be our friends, not to give us things, but primarily to teach us and to prepare us for life. And we really don't have any other option but to obey them, and it pleases God when we do that. But as adults, God requires us, expects us to listen to their advice. He no longer requires us to obey them. We're no longer under their authority. But if we're wise, we will seek their counsel. We will listen to their counsel. We will heed their counsel. Proverbs 23:22 says, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old." Have you tuned your parents out? You know, it's a tragic mistake. You see, your parents have great wisdom. They lived longer than you. They still know you in a very special way. Every time I do premarital counseling, at some point in the counseling, whether it's with a couple in their 20s or a couple in their 50s, I will always ask the question, what do your parents think about your relationship? You see, no matter how badly your parents may have blown their life, they know what makes you tick. And I listen very carefully to how that couple responds to what the parents think. Not that it ultimately rules out a marriage if it's a bad report, but it certainly raises some red flags and things that are worth pursuing. So wake up before it's too late and make use of this resource, of the great wisdom that your parents and my parents have. So we respect their position. We praise their strengths. We heed their counsel. And furthermore, we provide for their needs. We provide for their needs. You know, parenting is very costly. Parenting costs time and energy. I appreciate the story about President Teddy Roosevelt. Evidently, he had a six-year-old daughter who was a real live wire. And someone once said to him, a friend of his said, "You know, you really should try to keep your daughter under control." And President Roosevelt responded, "I can keep my daughter under control, or I can be president of the United States, but I cannot do both." Parenting takes tremendous energy, and it's very time-consuming. It also costs money. I did some research, came up with an outdated number, and then tried to adjust it for the increase in the cost of money. And how much does it cost to raise a child? Well, I found that to raise a child from birth to age 22, to raise a firstborn son cost $450,000. You'd be interested to know to raise a firstborn daughter. And we have two daughters and one son, so I was very interested in learning this. It was too late to help me in planning, but actually it wasn't that bad. It was $50,000 more, $500,000, $500,000 even. And don't ask me what explains the difference. If I knew, I wouldn't try to explain it anyway. But think about it. When your parents and when my parents chose to have me, it was a lot cheaper when they chose to have me, but when they chose to have us, they chose to give up a lot of other things. Very costly as far as money. It also cost in terms of mental anguish. I don't care how good a child you were, your parents spent an immeasurable amount of emotions, sorrow, worry, fear, because of their great love for you. Your parents and my parents paid an incredible price. They sacrificed much, and you and I need to be willing to sacrifice for them. You see, God seems to have created families in a circle, a family circle. And as we get older, our roles are reversed. When you were a child, There were certain things you couldn't do. You couldn't feed yourself. You couldn't dress yourself. So your parents did that. And now as your parents get older, they're going to need your help, and they're going to need your support and assistance. And God says we must not abandon our parents in their old age. And you might say, well, at times it's very inconvenient. Well, you know, it was inconvenient to change your diapers. But some things that are inconvenient are also very important. So important. Listen to what 1 Timothy 5 says. It says, Christians should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents. For this is pleasing to God. And verse 8 says, if anyone does not provide for his family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. See, caring for parents in their old age is so important that when Jesus hung on the cross, he said to the Apostle John, John, take care of my mother. In Jesus' most inconvenient moment, at the time when he was experiencing the pain and the shame of crucifixion, he thought about providing for the needs of his mother. It's that important. To honor our parents, that means to respect their position, praise their strengths, heed their counsel, provide for their needs, and finally, forgive their sins. Some of you, I'm sure, have been thinking, what if my parents were dishonorable? How do you honor the dishonorable? Some of you have been deeply hurt by parents who abuse their position. And I want to be very, very sensitive because I know that that's a very complex and very deep and painful thing. But how do you honor the dishonorable? Let me remind you of a story that I think at least begins to give us some direction. I know a lot more work has to be done for those of you in that situation. But the story of Noah. Noah had three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And after he got out of the ark, Noah planted a vineyard, made wine, and got drunk. He got so drunk that he passed out in his tent naked. His one son, Ham, went in and saw his father drunk, naked, and went out of the tent and spread the word. But the other brothers, Shem and Japheth, walked into the tent backwards with a cloak between them and covered their father's nakedness. And the Bible says that Ham was cursed because he dishonored his father, and that Shem and Japheth were blessed because they honored their father. How do you honor the dishonorable? You cover them with a cloak. You cover their nakedness with a cloak. You cover their shame and their sin with a cloak of grace and forgiveness. It does not mean that you cover it and ignore their sin. It does not mean that you pretend that they never hurt you. In fact, it means coming to grips with the hurt. It may mean honoring your parents may mean the hard work of loving confrontation to arrive at real reconciliation. But ultimately, friends, what it means is forgiving them as God in Christ has forgiven you. Not to cover them with a cloak of forgiveness. The price is too high for you. It not to forgive means that you're going to pay a physical price. We're increasingly learning there's a close connection between spiritual health and physical health. unresolved anger and hurt toward parents has a way of releasing itself in various chemicals into our bodies that create anxiety, depression, ulcers, colitis, heart and respiratory diseases. There's a physical price to be paid. There's also a price of freedom. Have you ever heard a person say, "I'll never be like my father," or "you're being just like your mother"? You see, we're reacting. We're reacting to our parents in the past, and we end up getting chained to the very people we want to avoid. And after a while, we begin to hate ourselves because we realize how much we are like them, and we take it out on others. And the only way for us to break that chain is through the grace of God to forgive and to cover with grace. And, of course, there's the relational price that has to be paid. Our relationship with our parents affects every other relationship. People who have difficulty at school and at work, it's generally not because of lack of technical ability. More often than not, it's because they cannot relate to other people, especially those in authority over them. And how many marriages have been wrecked because unresolved anger toward parents has been refocused on the spouse? But most importantly, it's the price of intimacy with God. That when we have anger or unresolved issues with our parents, we transfer them to our relationship with God, and we are cut off from intimacy with a perfect, loving, heavenly parent. So I urge you to do the hard work of working through those issues that you might cover your parents' nakedness with a cloak of grace and forgiveness. Modern psychology used to say, blame everything on your parents. Thankfully, there's been a recent shift to encouraging people to take responsibility for their response to their parents. The Bible is consistent. The Bible says that although your parents greatly influence your life, they do not determine your life. God is bigger than your parents. God is bigger than their mistakes and than their sin. And your parents are a part of God's plan for your life, a plan that He intends for good. The key is how we will respond to our parents, and thus how we respond to God Himself. Perhaps you, like me tonight, are really hit by the fact that you have not kept this commandment. You've not done the things that I ran over. Maybe to some degree you have, but you know you've failed, that you've broken this commandment. What can you do? What can you and I do in response to this message? Well, I think we've got two options. The one option is to do what was his name? It was King James IV of Scotland. And what he did, he broke this commandment. He had forced his father from the throne, and he was so grieved by his sin when he realized what he had done, and it was too late to correct it. He wore a metal belt under his robe, and every year he added another weight on that belt, a metal weight, to remind himself the rest of his days of the grievous sin that he had committed against his father. And you know, a lot of people choose that option. A lot of people choose that option, not literally a metal belt and weight, but something even more foolish and painful. They weigh themselves down with a load of guilt. And occasionally they try to shake free from it by frantically making an effort to do something to honor their parents. And then other times they just collapse in despair under the weight of that guilt. That way is man's way, and it's called penance. Penance. And it's an attempt to pay for our sins through our own suffering. God's way is called repentance. And repentance is turning to and trusting in another to pay for our sins through his suffering. And what you need to understand tonight, and I need to continue to remind myself, is that the commandments we read, all the commandments in the Bible, the commandments which are a picture of God's perfect nature and perfect will, that those commandments are designed to show you and me our nakedness. They are designed to show us how we have sinned, that we might cease trusting in our own righteousness and flee to Christ for dress. The purpose of the commandments are to drive us to Jesus, not only once when we become Christians, but over and over and over and over again. And having come to Christ, then the commandments become a picture of the cloak which Christ has covered our nakedness with. They become a picture of the perfect righteousness that Jesus has won for you and me through his perfect life. And friends, if you have come to Christ, if you have repented, if you have turned to him and trusted in him, then I want you to know tonight that as God looks at you, and as he looks at me in Christ Jesus, he sees you and me as having perfectly honored our Father and our Mother. Because he sees us in the one whom Scripture says he always did what honored his Father. He sees us in Christ, who perfectly kept all the commandments, and specifically this commandment, honored his Father, obeyed him even to the point of death, death on a cross. If you're feeling tonight that you have you've blown it on this commandment, then the only solution, the only viable option is to come to Christ. The commandments are the purpose, the commandment is to press us toward the cross. To press us toward the cross where we might be cleansed of our sin, clothed in that cloak of righteousness that Jesus Christ offers, that we might stand faultless before God Almighty, that we might know him as our perfect Heavenly Father. And you see, it's as you know that your Heavenly Father fully loves you, fully accepts you, will never leave you or forsake you, that his love is unconditional, it's as you know that, that then affects all your other relationships. It's as you know the love of the Father that you are able then to begin to grow in honoring your father and your mother. Have you broken this command? Then go to Christ and be found in him, having a righteousness, not of your own, but the very righteousness of the Son of God. Let's pray together. Father, your word comes to each one of us in different situations, unique settings. Some of us have lost parents. They have died, and we cannot fulfill this except through honoring their memory. Some have never known their parents. Some have been deeply, deeply hurt by parents. Father, I ask that your Spirit would apply individually, personally, very tenderly, very firmly, very specifically, this commandment to each of our lives. But Father, each one of us needs grace to repent. We confess before you that we have broken this command, both in thought, word, and deed, and we stand before you guilty. In sinning against our parents, we have sinned against you. And Father, we ask you to have mercy upon us. And how we rejoice, Father, that you've heard that prayer. We rejoice that there is one who perfectly kept this commandment, and that he did it for us and then went to the cross and took upon himself our sin of dishonoring our parents. And he died for us that we might be cleansed. Thank you that his Spirit now dwells within us. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would enable us now to grow in honoring our parents, that we might bring honor and glory to you, Father. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.